Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. On this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. But we're not talking about Smallville. This week, we're talking about Supergirl. Yes, this is our Superman special number 4, where we talk about Superman on Supergirl. And I'm joined by a very special guest from Krypton Site and K-Site TV, Craig Byrne. What's up, Craig?
Hello, sir. Good to talk to you again.
Absolutely. Supergirl, she's back. CBS said no. CW said yes. She's back home on the CW. Dare to Defy. I don't know when that became a thing, the whole Dare to Defy thing, but I don't even know what that means. But
hey, let's just be happy that after 11 years, we finally get to see Superman on the CW.
That is true. This is the first time we've seen a person in a Superman costume on television since, I guess, what, 1997 with Lois and Clark, right?
Yeah, I think that might be it, unless little computer-generated people count.
Yes, no CGI trickery or extreme close-ups to be seen here. Yeah, Superman. So yeah, so that's why we're talking about these episodes, because Superman is on Supergirl. So he was in the first two episodes of Season 2, The Adventures of Supergirl and The Last Children of Krypton, and it is played by
Tyler Hoechlin.
So Tyler Hoechlin is Superman here, right? I mean, I don't see a lot of people, like, when we saw these first promo pictures of Tyler Hoechlin as Superman, people were like, I don't know about this. And, you know, to be honest, I was one of them, because I was like, those promo pictures were not very flattering, at least in my opinion. What did you think, Craig?
I thought they looked fine. I mean, I will admit the little things holding up the cape looked a little strange. And they still kind of look a little strange, like a little too much gold going on or a little too plastic looking. I think when you see his Superman in motion, it all makes sense. I mean, you see some of the best parts of the episode are, like, you know, when he just, like, stops and lands and, you know, like, winks at the kids after saving them. I mean, it's like he takes pleasure in being Superman, and I really like that aspect of the character and that portrayal. And, you know, a lot of that was also helped by a fantastic score by Blake Neely. I loved how they alternated between the little theme for Superman with the theme for Supergirl going back and forth. And, of course, the episodes were directed by Glenn Winter, who got his start on Smallville. So, you know, he's got a good rep.
A good legacy of Superman going on here. And, you know, people will say, oh, man, they should have cast Tom Welling, and oh, man, they should have cast Henry Cavill, and oh, man, you know, this, that. Look, I'm just glad that we finally have moved past, like, the Superman origin story and the status quo, and we moved past that. And the great thing about the Supergirl show is he's been Superman for 12 years at least. And we can finally see the stage of the character's life where he's established, he's older, he's a mentor to Supergirl here, that the whole Superman world is established. You got Catco and Luther Corp and the Daily Planet and all that. Because, you know, if you look back at just every single Superman cartoon, TV show, movie, it's all, you know, you got the origin, obviously, and you have, you know, 10 years origin, Smallville, right? You have either that or you have the Superman status quo of, like, Lois and Clark, and all that's great. But this is a time of life of the character that we've never really gotten to see before, and it's almost like a true, you know, Supergirl is a true spiritual sequel to Smallville, I feel, because, you know, just in its feel and its tone and its optimism, it's a great successor series. And, you know, even though it's not, you know, the same actors aren't playing the same characters, I feel like it's like a spiritual sequel. Just like, you know, if Smallville was the origin, Man of Steel movies are like, you know, the Superman status quo, and this is like Superman moving forward past that. You know what I'm saying?
Sort of, yeah. I mean, I definitely feel like the tone to me is different. Like, even though Smallville was a completely different show near the end than it was in the beginning, it never was a straightforward, complete spandex superhero show like this was. And I mean, I appreciated that. Like, in Supergirl season 1, it's like, you know, the pilot episode, she's already flying using heat vision and wearing a costume. I think that was really cool. And then this Superman, again, I think they found everything that works with the traditional Superman that people know and love. And they really cracked the code. And even his Clark Kent, you know, I like the notion that he was genuinely clumsy.
Yeah.
And, you know, just little just little tiny tidbits like that, I think, really helped sell the character as, you know, as Clark Kent. Because you're not going to have a Clark Kent who's as dorky as, like, Christopher Reeve's Clark Kent, and that's no knock on Reeve at all. But you're also not going to have a Clark Kent who's as cool as, like, Dean Cain's was.
No, absolutely. You know, it is a tough balance, right? Because you think if you're just trying to blend into the background, you're not going to be this over-the-top, like, dorky, nerdy guy who's... I mean, that calls attention to itself alone, right? I mean, as in the 70s, it was a perfect interpretation, and Christopher Reeve is the definitive Superman, but his Clark Kent was pretty over the top and would not fly in this day and age. I feel like Tyler Hoechlin found that perfect balance of, you know, he was charming, he was funny. Like, we saw him a pretty good amount as Superman and Clark Kent, which was refreshing. You know, we didn't get all of one or none of the other or vice versa. So I feel like we got a very good idea of, you know, what his Superman, who his Superman was and what he was all about. And we got to see lots of shades of his character as well, because, I mean, he's mentoring Kara, he's saving the day, he's coming into conflict with Martian Manhunter, which is a very interesting subplot.
Who?
Kara? Kara? What? Kira?
Kara.
Well, see, what is the correct pronunciation? Because on Smallville, they always called her Kara, right?
Yeah, but here she's Kara.
Well, whatever. Cat Grant, surprising enough to me, is my favorite character on this show. So I blame her for the mispronunciation.
Good
right?
try.
Who would have thought the Cat Grant would be my favorite character on this show, man? I swear.
Especially after how awful she was in Smallville.
Both of them, right? Both of
them. Yeah, but, you know, like, you know, going back to Cat, though, like, you know, Tyler Clark is kind of dorky in his own way, but it's also endearing. And I love the fact that Kat was completely weak when he came by.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was a completely different person. It's like, oh, Clark Kent? You know Clark Kent? And I thought that was really fun.
Yeah, and that even traces back to, I guess, well, the comic books. And then, of course, Lois and Clark, right? Where Kat Grant was all about Clark Kent. So that's just part of who her character is. So that was fun to see. And, you know, well, speaking of Cat Grant, I mean, let's talk about this for a minute here, Greg. So Supergirl, as we said, was on CBS. It's on the CW now, kind of home where it belongs, frankly, because, I mean, it should have been here all along, because it's what a time to be alive, right? You get Supergirl on Monday, The Flash on Tuesday, Arrow on Wednesday, tomorrow on Thursday. Like, just man, back in the day when we were watching Smallville once a week, it's just... people take this stuff for granted, right? You got four superhero shows, and then you got, of course, all these other, you got like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Gotham, but, you know, I don't watch either of those, to be honest. So I did watch them each for half a season. I gave them their chance, and they didn't win me over. I didn't like them, and I just moved on, because there's just too much to watch, right?
I still would prefer us to be like it is on Earth 2, where Constantine is currently in its third season. No, but... I would love to see more Constantine, by the way, but I do worry at a certain point that there might be an oversaturation of stuff. I speak for myself, even, and like, I watched this episode of Supergirl last week at a CW screening, and because I was on such a high from watching the episode, I didn't enjoy Flash as much as I normally would, because I still was thinking about Supergirl. So, you know, that could cause some damage to the other shows, but I mean, Arrow has had a really good start to its season. I think the second episode of Legends this year will be better than the first. I mean, the first was okay, but I really want to see the Justice Society, so I'm curious about that. But, yeah, it's great that there's so much available to us now. I mean, TV or movies. I mean, who would have thought we'd live in a world where, like, a Doctor Strange movie is coming out next month?
What a world.
Yeah, exactly. You know, or who'd have thought we'd be watching Superman, like a full-on Superman on TV, flying around, stopping stuff in midair? I mean, I know Dean Cain did some flying around and stopping stuff, but, you know, the effects were kind of minimal back in the day.
Right. I mean, this is Superman Returns level stuff going on here. You know, I mean, it's amazing how far special effects have come just in 10 years. Because Superman Returns was 10 years ago, and it looks pretty much on par. What they have, you know, Superman and Supergirl doing in Supergirl, these episodes, is on par with what Brandon Routh was doing 10 years ago in Superman Returns, you know?
And now he's shrinking on DC's Legends of Tomorrow, 30 days on the CW.
So, you know, all behind-the-scenes stuff aside, let's just put that aside. That's its own conversation for another time. Would you have liked to see Tom Welling come back as Superman on Supergirl? A loaded question, I know, for you, Craig.
Yeah, it is a loaded question for me. I mean, it would be fun to see Tom come back to any of the shows at one point. I don't think him. I mean, I actually wrote an article for comicbook.com about the subject because they asked me to, and I was like, what the heck, devil's advocate. Now, if they had gotten Tom as like Superman for Supergirl, it'd be interesting to see him play a fully formed different Superman, probably more age appropriate than Tyler is, but I still think Tyler was perfect.
Oh, so. Yeah. Tyler, this is not a slight to Tyler Hoechlin at all. You know, I'm just pure fanboy speculation here. Yeah. So.
I would like to see Tom as a different character if he would ever do anything at all. Like, I know Legends of Tomorrow dropped a reference to Ray Palmer having a brother at some point. I think that would be really funny if Superman was Superman's brother. I have a strong feeling that, especially after some comments from Cadmus, that we may be seeing Cyborg Superman at one point.
I've thought that since season one. Yeah, because in the New 52, Supergirl's Kryptonian father was Cyborg Superman. Yeah, exactly. So it's like, oh, well, now her Earth father would be Cyborg Superman. So, and I thought at the time, I was like, well, how can you have Cyborg Superman show up but no Superman? But now that we have Superman introduced in this universe, that would be awesome to see. You could see Dean Cain as Cyborg Superman fight, obviously, Supergirl, but then also Tyler Hoechlin Superman, possibly. That would be so cool.
Here's another thing about what a wonderful world we live in. If Dean Cain is Cyborg Superman, imagine him teaming up with the Flash of Earth 2, or Earth 3.
Oh, man.
John Wesley Shipp. It would be like a 1990s comic book fan's wet dream.
So, yeah, I loved this. So, going into this, it was very similar to when they cast Henry Cavill as Superman, right? Because it's like, Smallville's over, you have all your Smallville fans and your Tom Welling fans, you have Superman Returns as your previous movie, you have all your Superman Returns fans and your Brandon Routh fans. It was like a no-win scenario for Henry Cavill, right? But they cast him, and he had been rumored to play Superman, like, in years past. So that was, like, the loophole they found. Like, yeah, see, we were talking about this guy years ago. So we cast him, and Henry Cavill is great as Superman. The material lets him down, I think. You know, if you see him outside of, like, if you see him, like, in behind-the-scenes stuff, in interviews, he's smiling, he's knowledgeable. I think he'd be great as Superman if he just had better scripts to work with, you know?
I agree with you completely. Now, I feel lucky. I grew up at a time where I didn't have a particular Superman that, like, my brain was, like, married to. It's like, you know, Christopher Reeve was Superman when I was a little kid. But, you know, you had George Reeves in the reruns on Nick at Night. You had Gerard Christopher and John Hames Newton and Superboy in the afternoons. And it wasn't until around the time of Lois and Clark that I became a real Superman fan. So I knew all these different, you know, Superman actors. It wasn't like somebody who watched only Smallville who'd be like, oh, nobody but Tom Welling, or, you know, I'm sure there are nobody but Brandon Routh people or nobody but Henry Cavill people.
Mm-hmm.
I've been lucky, you know, I've gotten to see a lot of different takes. I will say, though, that I feel like Tyler's version of Superman may be my favorite since Christopher Reeve.
You know, we've only seen him in two episodes. Right, so not to judge too early, but I might agree with you, man, because he's the complete package, right?
I liked him more in 30 seconds than I did in the 8 hours of Batman v Superman.
Man, I got to tell you, man, when we saw, of course, they released this scene on the internet, the first scene we see Superman in. I wish they hadn't done that, to be honest, because it kind of took away some.
I wish they hadn't, too, because when I watched the screener of the episode, I hadn't seen the scene yet. So when I see him, you know, talking to Perry White on the phone, being like lickety split and all that, I just had the biggest goofy grin. I'm like, I can't believe I'm watching this.
Oh, man, I smile like literally because I don't often do this, like, but like I'm literally have a huge smile on my face the entire. I hear people say that. I'm like, that's BS. Who does that? No, I was totally doing this the whole time. Mm-hmm. That first scene, he's on the phone. He runs into the alley. He does the shirt rip. He goes up, up and away. I was just about lost my mind, man. It was just so awesome. And oh, man, it just makes me think. And that kind of ties back to what I was saying, like, with Tom Welling, like, if that had been Tom Welling doing that, I mean, so many people would have literally lost their minds. It would have blown people away, all the Smallville fans, because we waited for that so long on Smallville. And this is the kind of, like, flash-forward last scene of Smallville I would have loved to see. You know, we don't need Smallville didn't need to be, and it got really out of control at the end. Like, it didn't need to be about, like, Darkseid and alien invasions and all that. We could have just had, like, a nice, you know, you bring Lex back, you do a little story, you do something, you do a little flash forward, and then here's our peek at Superman in the future, and we have this reveal of, you know, Clark at a newsstand, he's on the phone with Perry White, whatever, runs into the alley, takes off, becomes Superman, just like a plane rescue. You know, as you have to do an aircraft rescue in a Superman event, right? You do that, you save the day, that's the end of Smallville. That would have been great. So this little scene here would have been such a much more satisfying ending to me than seeing CGI Superman flying around, pushing planets around. That's just my take.
Well, you did have tiny CG Superman with a plane. I will admit this, and I don't think I've ever gone on record saying this.
Oh, exclusive here, guys.
When I was watching the finale of Smallville, the scene where Lois is about to interview the president on the plane, I thought we were going to see her interviewing Superman.
Oh, okay.
I thought we were going to see full frontal, complete Superman right then and there. Obviously, we didn't, and so it was a 10-year tease.
Right.
But I thought they were going to surprise us all. Obviously, they didn't.
Well, they surprised us by not surprising us. Yeah, and not to bring it all, I know this is, you know, we're talking about Supergirl here, but hey, this is a small full podcast. That's the lens that it, you know, we're looking at things through. So I can't help but make these comparisons. I'm seeing all these things on television that I wanted for so long to see in the context of Smallville, and they're doing it, and it's great, and I love it. And even though it's not Tom Welling, you know, I still think it's awesome. Tyler Hoechlin is great.
Let's also be realistic. If Smallville had ended after like 5 seasons, we would never have expected him to wear a costume.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, a shirt rip would have been fine. Would have been fine.
Yeah, they built it up to be so big. And by the time, you know, when you see freaking Hawkman flying around and have him getting married to Lois Lane before he's even Superman, you kind of have to expect to see the costume.
Yeah. Like, you know, the costume on Tom Welling, not on a mannequin in the Fortress of Solitude, which I don't know where Jor-El got that nice, you know, black mannequin he put the suit on. But anyway, like I said, we'll get to that in about 5 years.
Okay, good.
So yeah, from the first scene that Superman was in on Supergirl, I was sold. Like, despite me being skeptical, but what is the deal with Superman and like his, like, I remember when the first picture of Brandon Routh came out in the Superman costume, I was unimpressed, right? And then of course,
first picture of Tom Welling in the costume they put up. Oh, wait.
Burn. Yeah, you had to go there. Thanks. Nice. But then, you know, like, as I said off the top of the episode here, the first images we saw of Tyler Hoechlin here as Superman were kind of, and even Melissa Benoist, the first picture or two we saw of her as Supergirl, I was like, that was not that impressive. Yeah, it's dark, and she, I don't know if it was the lighting or what, she looked older and just different, and then you see all these other promo pictures where she's out on, like, on a rooftop, and she's smiling, and it's like, yes, this is the stuff we want to see. So I don't know why it's so difficult to take, like, a promotional picture of someone in a Superman costume.
It really depends. Because, like, the first photos they put out of, like, Constantine and Arrow were really good. The first picture of Grant Gustin where you saw the full costume was not that impressive.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Man of Steel, I think the first picture we saw Henry Cavill where he's like crashed up against the bank vault, that was a great shot in my opinion.
Well, that was also good because you couldn't see his lack of underpants.
Yeah, you're like, is he wearing the underwear? Is
somehow
he not?
Tyler has one. I think the red belt helps.
Mm-hmm. It helps break up the blue and not look awkward, totally.
Okay, I know I'm jumping ahead, but how cool was it that they replicated that shot from Crisis Number 7 with Superman holding Supergirl?
And they do such a good job about that stuff on the CW-verse. Like, last season when they had the Flash of Two Worlds comic cover with Jay Garrick and Barry Allen coming at Patty's Pivot, and then we have Superman. And like you said, such an iconic, that's probably a top 10 iconic comic cover, the Crisis on Infinite Earths cover where Superman's holding Supergirl. So good. So good, man.
I know some people were a little alarmed when they saw that shot, like, oh, you know, this is sexist. He's holding her up, but not the other way around or something. But in the context of the episode, it made sense that the way Tyler portrayed Superman was that it was very much Supergirl's show. It was her city, and he's going to respect her. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really well done, too.
Yeah, I mean, even in, like, when they do their saves and the headlines come out, like, Supergirl saves the day, she's like, hope you didn't mind me getting top billing this time. He's like, oh, of course not. You know, it's they kind of address that in a meta way, which is very clever as well. So they just handle it. You have to handle this very delicately because it's the show is Supergirl. You don't want Superman to come in here and upstage her, much like Supergirl came onto Smallville and upstaged Clark in season 7.
Or the episode called Supergirl, which was basically about her telling Clark how much he sucks.
How do we have an episode of Smallville called Supergirl, but not one called Superman, right? Oh, my goodness.
How do we have, I think this might be the first time ever we've had a show, a Superman show with a character named Metallo, and the episode wasn't called Metallo.
Let's talk about it. So we got Metallo in the second Superman episode of Supergirl, The Last Children of Krypton. Probably the best live-action interpretation of Metallo. What did you think, Craig?
I still am partial to Brian Austin Green.
I mean, I like Brian Austin Green. I was a huge fan of him from, like, the Sarah Connor Chronicles as well, but I don't know.
I don't know. There was something about Brian Austin Green's Metallo that I liked better, and I can't really place what. I mean, it was cool what Metallo could do, but meh.
Well, I don't know. We've yet to get, and I understand it's very expensive. That's why I would like to see Metallo in a film one day. But I want to see the Terminator endoskeleton Metallo, right, that we got in the animated series of Superman.
Why wasn't Ryan Austin Green the Terminator? I mean, he's got experience.
It makes perfect sense. Like, why didn't they just do it, man? But, you know, he was robotic, Corbin and Supergirl here. He was robotic, and then when Supergirl, he visioned his hand, it became a skeletal. We saw that that he had was a cyborg under there. So there was hinted at that. But look, that's the same reason we didn't get, like, a full cyborg on Smallville, the superhero cyborg. You know, we did the whole, oh, look, Clark x-rayed him, and he has cyborg stuff underneath. It's like, okay, I'll go with it. You're on a TV budget. But we're getting closer. I feel like every version we get of Metallo is better, at least in my opinion. And I would still like to see him in a movie one day. But John Corbin, I guess that's the end of him, huh? I mean, he looked pretty dead at the end there with Supergirl, but maybe he'll come back later on as the T-800.
And he'll team up with Cyborg Superman, played by Dean Cain.
Boom!
If I say it enough times, is it going to happen?
How can it not happen? Like, how can they not do that at this point? That would be like ending Smallville without Clark in a Superman costume if we didn't get Dean Cain as Cyborg Superman, right, Craig?
Now I'm depressed. And I was about to, like, be very optimistic and say, if we're going to keep willing stuff into existence, where's my Tyler Hoechlin Superman spinoff?
Oh, man, I would love that. But as we were just saying, the schedule is so crammed, though, right?
Yeah, well, my feeling is, and I wrote this on Krypton site, plug, I mean, I can see the problem also being you don't want it to compete with Supergirl as a series. But what if it aired at, like, mid-season during a Supergirl break, or if it was a summertime series, it would give people a reason to watch the CW in the summertime. Not that Beauty and the Beast wasn't, so Ian, don't kill me. But you know what I mean. It would be a big deal.
What about a CW Seed exclusive series, Craig?
That budget would probably be way too small.
Well, what if they made it a paid service, right?
Oh, we're gonna Star Trek Discovery. Yes. It, huh? You know what? I would watch. Okay, listen to this, CBS executives. I would watch a Superman show on CBS All Access. There we go.
Yeah, why not? Right? I mean, if they bought Supergirl, buy Superman. You need more shows for your CBS All Access stable. Buy Superman. It'd be great, right?
So you have Superman, Star Trek, The Good Wife, Big Brother. Look, I'm plugging their little project anyway, so.
It would be great. So, yeah, so, I mean, I think that they established and hinted at the greater Superman world so well in these two episodes.
Right.
I mean, and, well, yeah, we can delve into that here. So let's just go down the list. You know, we had Clark talk to Perry White in his first scene. That was established, the whole lickety-split, great Caesar's ghost. That was a great callback there. Then, you know, Lois called him on the phone, and it was cute, but, you know, we didn't hear her voice. We don't know what she looks like. I hope we do get to see Lois Lane one day on the show. I it'll be awesome, Craig. And I think you and I have talked about this on, you know, messaging back and forth and whatnot.
You want to see Allison Mack, don't you?
Allison Mack as Lois Lane. That would be as satisfied as all the Tom Welling fans out there. And not that I'm not a Tom Welling fan, but some people are like, really, Tom Welling fans? You know who you are. But as much as their minds would be blown if Tom Welling was cast as Superman and Supergirl, my mind would just melt Allison Mack was Lois Lane on the show because I was a Clovis guy, right? You know, so that would be, yeah.
Or they
so
could
cool.
just really mess with people and get Kristen Krug.
Well, that would upset a lot of people, Craig.
Kristen Krug is awesome, damn it. But no, I do think whoever they get would have to look a little bit like Jenna Dewan Tatum, or Dewan, how you say her last name.
Right.
Gambit's wife.
Is that Gambit movie still happening? Because I've heard rumors it might not, actually.
The Gambit movie is probably as happening as Lucy Lane is still in charge of the DEO.
You know, we'll get through the Superman stuff here, and then we'll wrap back around and talk about all the changes between season one and two, because there's a few notable changes here. But yeah, that's the thing, right? So do you think Allison Mack could pull it off as Tatum's sister?
I think people would love to see her, but I would not believe her as Jenna Dewan Tatum's sister. So we need to keep thinking about that. Is Kate Bosworth old enough to play Lois Lane yet?
But see, Allison, I'm going to keep hammering on this. I'm serious, guys. Allison Mack, it's not like getting Tom Welling back to play Superman or Michael Rosenbaum to play Lex Luthor. That's never going to happen. That just confuses people and all that stuff. Allison Mack was not Lois Lane, but you cast her.
She was totally Lois Lane. I have read thousands of posts implying that she was Lois Lane. So
hey, man, I'm the biggest... CHLOIS. I was gonna edit that around that, but I'm gonna leave it in. Thanks for playing me there, Greg. Like, I'm the biggest Clovis. I have to spell it, because if you say Clovis, people don't know what you say, so I have to say, I have to spell it out.
I know what you mean.
So I was like the biggest Clovis fan in the world. I thought that was such a cool twist. So but look, end of the day, she wasn't Lois Lane. Life goes on. C'est la vie. But you can get her as Lois Lane this way. Just like Laura Vandervoort came back and didn't play Supergirl, she played Indigo. So you could do
just
it.
Just like Tom Welling will play Ray Palmer's brother.
They have to do it. They have to do it.
They're going to will that in existence as well, you know?
Yeah. So anyway, eventually we're going to see Lois Lane. There's about a 1% chance it'll be Allison Mack. So as fun as it is to fan cast all this stuff, you know, it's probably not going to happen. But until they cast it, I mean, people were, you know, clamoring for Tom Welling to be Superman in the show up until the very day they announced Tyler Hoechlin was cast. And you know, that's what we as fans do, right? But hey, it's fun to talk about now. But I think, you know, hopefully we'll see Superman again, and maybe he'll get his own spinoff. That'd be awesome. We'll see Lois Lane. I'm sure whoever it will be great. So another big Superman reference we got, the whole Luther family playing a huge role in the season premiere. And that was a huge missing piece to this Superman universe of the TV show Supergirl, because I know one of my big complaints about Supergirl season one was, what has Superman been doing for 12 years? He's apparently never, there's no sign of LexCorp or Luther Corp. He's never encountered Red Kryptonite or Bizarro or other Kryptonians. Like, it's like, what has this guy been doing for 12 years? But then we finally get some backstory here between him and Luther, and of all things, they reference Superman the movie with the earthquake in California, huh? What'd you think about that, Greg?
That was awesome. I mean, just all the little Easter eggs. It's just a callback for the people who love Superman.
Right, exactly. Because you all know what they're talking about. You're like, oh man, they like Superman the movie too. That's great, you know. And so they establish that Lex is in jail. And okay, look, if they ever cast Lex Luthor, has to be Billy Zane. What do you think?
He might be too old.
But look, Superman is old too. Right? I know Tyler doesn't look it. But Kryptonians age much slower. Look, he should be around the age of Cat Grant, right? Calista Flockhart, what? She's around 50, right? So do the math. I think it would work.
Yeah, but that would imply that Lois Lane would be around 50 too, and that would mean that they should just get Courtney Cox. But that's beside the point.
Well, look, Luthor is always older than Clark anyway, right? So it would make sense for him to be older. So Billy Zane is off the page Lex Luthor. They've missed the opportunity to cast him twice now in Superman Returns and in Man of Steel, and I do not understand why people can't see it. He's a good actor. He's got an awesome voice. He looks just like the character. I would love to see him as Lex Luthor. And, you know, I don't know. Yeah.
When they establish Lena is adopted, I'm seeing total incest stuff coming up.
Okay, yes. Why was she adopted? Well, I don't understand.
So they can have incest. You think I'm joking. They don't want to run into the Tess Mercer, I love you, Lex, scenes.
Katie McGrath from Merlin, huh? How'd you think she did?
I wish they let her use her real accent, because it kind of slips through. But
well, she is adopted. They could have got away with it, right?
Yeah, but at least no dinosaurs ate her this time.
Yeah. Yes, that, for those of you who are not aware, that is a reference to Jurassic World, where she had the most undeserved gruesome death in Jurassic World, right? Usually that kind of death is reserved for, like, the evil corporate tycoon or the, you know, the something like that. She was just, you know, Bryce Dallas Howard's assistant and was having a bad day on her cell phone and did not deserve to be eaten by a pteranodon and a mosasaur, but hey.
Well, you know, but I mean, I loved her on Merlin. Merlin was a great show. The first, like, two seasons are basically, like, microwaved Smallville. Yes, it's, like, the same show.
And I've said, we've talked about this on Twitter back and forth. It's, like, if there is one show that reminds you more of Smallville than anything, even more than, I know we're talking about Supergirl being, like, the spiritual successor. If there's a show that reminds me more about Smallville than anything, it's Merlin.
Well, it's kind of ironic, because the other show that reminded me of early Smallville was Teen Wolf when it first came on. And, of course, Tyler Hoechlin came from that show.
Mm-hmm.
He would have been the equivalent of Lex on that show.
Oh, interesting. Okay, cool. And then they Merlin and Smallville had similarly disappointing finales as well, series finales. So
we don't discuss the Merlin finale. It didn't happen. It's like Heroes Reborn.
Talk about Heroes Reborn. Look, we're jumping all around, but that's what's fun about these Superman specials. Talk about Heroes Reborn. I had to go look on IMDb. I was really sure the woman in charge of Cadmus was the woman from Heroes Reborn. When I first saw
her.
No,
it was Brenda Strong.
No, I know it wasn't her. Brilliant. And she was great, but yeah. You see why I would think that, right?
Okay, here's the thing for me. I'm a huge Brenda Strong fan. I loved her on the new version of Dallas. She also was the Ice Queen on The 100 last year, but when I'm watching the screener, I had no idea who it was, and I was like, she looks kind of familiar, and she almost reminded me of Annette O'Toole at first.
The Red Queen is on Supergirl.
Yeah, which would have blown my mind. Like, get Annette O'Toole on the show, like, now, please. But, I thought she's really mysterious. I think it'd be kind of amusing if she ended up being Lex's mother.
Hmm.
But we'll see where they go with that. But
there's so much they could do with that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I'm happy with her being on the show.
Yeah, there's so much they could do with the Luther family now, because to bring it back again to, because we haven't really talked about it. So Selena Luther, they set her up to be possibly she caused this spaceflight catastrophe, you know, the standard Superman aircraft catastrophe, right? Because she was supposed to be on the flight, on the plane that Superman and Supergirl saved, and she wasn't. So she starts out as a suspect, and then it turns out, no, she was the target, and Lex had hired John Corbin, from prison, because Lex is serving like 32 consecutive life sentences or something like that. He's trying to get it at Lena because she is renaming Luther Corp L Corp, which was interesting because I thought it was interesting that it was called Luther Corp on Supergirl because, of course, it's called Luther Corp on Smallville, but in every other iteration of Superman, it's called Lex Corp. Became Lex Corp. We're in the midst of season two right now, and the whole Lex Corp, Luther Corp thing is very vague, very ill-defined, and I don't think the show ever really explains what happens after the season one finale when Lex took over the Luther Corp plant, named it Lex Corp. That all just kind of disappears, and everything just
It's kind of like how Chloe and her dad, like, faked their deaths, and then Chloe's dad doesn't get his job offered back to him.
After all I did for you guys. That was cool to call Luther Corp, huh, Craig?
I think El Corp is kind of a dumb name. It sounds like Kmart, but, you know, whatever. If Morgana wants to have her own new company, who am I to stop her?
Yeah. And she's is she like a regular guest star, a main cast member? What is her hierarchy in the show?
I think she is a recurring guest star, kind of like Maxwell Lord was last season.
Mm-hmm.
The new series regulars for the season are Chris Wood as Mon-El.
He's a regular?
He's a series regular.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah. He's in the credits as, like, you know, with Chris Wood and David Harewood. It seems like if your name ends with Wood, you're going to be in the show.
Now that's a character that I'm shocked Smallville never did.
That was a character that I wish, I mean, I know at the time, I mean, Brandon Routh had done some Chuck, but he hadn't done a lot of TV at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I would have loved to have seen Brandon as Mon-El on Smallville.
Like in season 9 or 10 or something?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's very cool that we're seeing him on the show. But also, Floriana Lima, who plays Maggie Sawyer, is coming in next week, and then she's going to seduce Alex, I'm sure.
Yeah, they've said stuff behind the scenes where that's going to... Well, there's going to be a character that comes out, right?
Yes, and I think Wynn is a little too obvious.
Well, Wynn... So if the entirety of season 1 wasn't Wynn being in love with Kara, then I'd be like, okay, yeah, I can see Wynn.
He's way more in love with Superman, though.
that was so great. The way he interacts with Superman, so awesome. Like, he's completely awestruck. It's as if, like, you and I had met, like, Christopher Reeve, right? Like, oh.
No, I have to admit, though, the other day when they did their little screening and Q&A,
yeah.
Tyler Hoechlin comes in the room. I dropped, like, 3 things. It's like Superman is right in front of me. That's awesome.
I do like the wins at the DEO now. I feel like that's a lot better fit for him, and he's going to more organically be part of all the stories. His services are much... put to much better use there than it'd be being like the tech guy at Catco, right?
I will admit, though, James's new job at Catco makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I thought, like, is James just not going to be in this episode? Because in the second episode now, The Last Children of Krypton, yeah. James Olsen has one scene at the very end, and it's when we find out that he is going to replace Cat Grant, because Calista Flockhart is leaving. She is, Cat Grant is leaving the show to go find herself. What do you think about that, huh?
I'm gonna miss her, but at the same time, I think it's like her guidance kind of taught Kara how to fly in a way. And I think to see Kara, you know, on her own 2 feet, doing her own thing, facing new challenges with what Kat had taught her is very important. And, you know, as much as I'm Miss Calista, I think the show would lose a lot more if they lost, say, Kara's sister.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you still get Kara learning these lessons. Hopefully Calista will come back.
Hey, she said she'll be back. At the end of the episode, she said she'd be back.
But she hasn't filmed anything yet, but neither has Tyler Hoechlin, as far as I can
tell. Well, she just needs to bring her husband Harrison Ford back to be Perry White, and I'll be happy, right?
There we go. There's the perfect Perry White. It would never happen in a snowball's chance in hell.
I think I have a better chance of Allison Mack being Lois Lane than Harrison Ford being Perry White, so... Cat Grant really had been like my dark horse favorite character. Like, who would have thought that she would be such an amazing character?
Well, she had the best lines and the delivery.
Yeah, so good.
As much as Callisto's probably paid, she was worth every penny.
Oh, she was earning it. I'm sure, no doubt, she was the most highest paid member of the cast, but she earned it. She was not phoning it in. She was giving it her all, and that was awesome. Because she could have very well just, I don't know how the contracts work, but she could have very well just not come back at all for season 2, right?
Exactly. I mean, I don't think they knew for sure that she was coming back for season 2 until they felt like when they were filming and they released that press release that she was doing the first 2 episodes, like at Comic-Con or the TCA Television Critics Press Tour. I don't think they had any idea that she was returning.
Well, they set it up in a way at the end of season 1 where it's like they put Kara in that weird office like downstairs, and they were thinking like that we're going to have budget cuts, or we're never going to see Cat Grant or that office again. And, you know, I was like, okay, they're leaving their options open for whatever happens in season 2. So they were very clever about it. And I think they handled it well. And like you said, I think Cat Grant had, she kind of served her purpose in Kara's life as her mentor. And it's great to see, just because that's life is change, you know, real life, people come and go and move and aren't on your life all the time. And dealing with that as part of just, you know, growing up or being an adult or whatever. And that's the thing about Smallville was, like, you know, I love John Glover as Lionel Luthor, but, like, his character was so played out by season 7. All the back and forth, good and bad, you know. I mean, look, but he was so good. Like, I'm glad he was there. I'm glad we got 7 seasons of Lionel, you know, but
And then we got Luthor, which was a lot of fun,
too. Oh, man.
Too.
Oh, season 10 coming back, so good. So good to see evil Lionel Luthor again.
But not when he was possessed by Darkseid.
That was it always comes back to Smallville. That was a disappointment. But but you know, let the characters go on their way. Well, like, here we go. Perfect example going on right now in the CW verse. Malcolm Merlyn should have died after season 1. You know. Ever since then, his character continues to have diminishing returns. John Barrowman is great. He was awesome as Dark Archer. His arc was over right? And they had to, they did that sort of redemption
plot. 1 hour of screen time the entire last season. Season 4 of Arrow. Somebody added it all up and he only had like an hour.
Well, he'd just show up and like talk to Damian Dark or, you know, talk to Thea.
Or he'd just show up, they'd be like, oh yeah, we have all this nice new security. And then he'd just like walk in the door.
I'm Ra's al Ghul. The I'm Batman of the Arrowverse, right? But it's such a, I mean, they did, I just think keeping these characters around past their expiration date, it's a disservice to the character and the storylines of the show. So it's gonna feel a lot different without Calista Flockhart around, but I think she served her purpose. So
sticking with Supergirl though, like in expiration dates of characters, who would have expected watching the Supergirl pilot last year that Hank Henshaw would be one of the best characters on the show?
Yeah, for real, man. Well, who expected him to be Martian Manhunter,
right? Hard ass, like, boss guy. And then when they revealed him as Martian Manhunter, he was amazing. Mm-hmm. And now having this history with Superman was really interesting.
Oh, that's so good.
We're getting Martian soon.
Such a layered thing with his character, right? Because you do wonder, like, okay, well, he's Martian Manhunter, like a superhero, right? And Superman is a superhero, so they're going to be buddies. They're going to be Justice League friends and stuff, right? No, they have a bad history because and if I understood it correctly, Martian Manhunter was part of the team that first discovered Kryptonite, and he named it,
yes.
Right? Isn't that what he said?
Yeah.
Superman wanted it all destroyed, and Martian Manhunter was like, no. So he's kind of the Batman, right? He's like, no, we got to keep this and use it, right? It's tactical advantage. So
he'd be in a much better mood if Superman would just buy him a box of Oreo cookies.
We've yet to see the Oreos, have we?
No, we haven't. Like, and I also, like, on my bucket list things I want to see is I want to see him turn into Fillmore. He's a shapeshifter. He can do it.
That would be so good. Oh man, that
would be
great.
It would be like when Mystique turned into Rebecca Romijn again in X-Men First Class.
Exactly. That'd be so perfect. That'd be such a great just nod to that.
I mean, I know Phil was so disappointed he never got to come back. So
yeah, I mean, he was always talking about, hey man, I'd love to do a John Jones detective series. I mean, that'd be great. He was great as a. Of course, I wish we saw him more as like a Martian instead of just Phil Morris. But all that aside, he was great as the character on Smallville.
The weird thing about Smallville, aside from Lara Vandervoort showing up, is I feel like the Supergirl producers see Smallville as too recent to want to reference much. It's kind of like when Smallville didn't really touch on anybody from Lois and Clark until season 7. You know what I mean? It's like they want to like give it a little bit room to breathe.
Yeah, more,
I mean,
separation, definitely.
I would love to see Justin Hartley on Arrow. I'd love to see Kyle Gallner on Flash. I don't see either happening anytime soon. Yeah, I feel like Smallville was so recent to them, they don't want to keep going back to that well. But, I mean, there were a lot of actors who were very well-loved, you know, so. And I hope if they do bring Lara Vandervoort back at some point, she's not like Mystique.
Well, I think to your point there, she was unrecognizable as Indigo, and that was probably a factor. And okay, I think she's safe to bring back. People won't immediately, because they didn't really make that big of a deal out of like Supergirl versus Supergirl. You know, I mean, when Christopher Reeve came on Smallville, it was a huge deal. And then when Dean Cain came on, they played up the fact it's Superman versus Superman, but they didn't really play it up as much, I feel, when Laura Vandervoort came on to Supergirl.
Yeah, and I mean, she didn't even get a special guest star billing, which kind of ticked me off a little bit.
She was just in the regular role of names.
Yeah, huh? I mean, Tyler Hoechlin's a special guest star, but he is Superman.
You know. We're all over the map here, but it's fun here. Who would you like to see them cast as Lex, then, if he inevitably shows up on the show?
Michael Rosenbaum. No, I'm just kidding. Let's see. That's a really good question. I think... I mean, this is like a really lame non-answer, but I think it's somebody that we wouldn't immediately think of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think they would surprise us. It's kind of like the whole thing where, like, when Gotham was getting Commissioner Gordon, nobody would have pictured Ben McKenzie from the OC.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of worked. But I don't know who I would cast. Like, I mean, I do think Billy Zane has the look, but I do think that they probably will want to go an incest way with Morgana. What's Bradley James doing these days? Damien's canceled, right? No.
Well, I guess your best place to look is Teen Wolf, or
Spartacus.
Yeah, Spartacus. You know? Oh man, so yeah, I mean hey, but when they do that though, all the actors are great, so I'm not complaining about it. It's just funny when you go down. Prison Break.
They also cast from Glee.
Glee and Prison Break.
Maybe they can get Puck. Oh wait, never mind. Oh,
I like how we've established that Luthers exist in this universe, because I guess, I don't know if they were off limits or they didn't want to go there in season one, but I thought a reference to Luther Corp every now and then would have been nice to establish the Superman mythos. We talk about the Daily Planet. Why not Luther Corp? But hey,
It was weird too that, you know, it felt like Maxwell Lord was just like a like stand-in.
Oh man, I'm so glad he's gone. He was my least favorite character by far, and I'm so glad he's gone. I didn't like the character.
But we know he was in your favorite movie, Twilight, so whatever.
I've never seen Twilight, by the way. Proud to say. What did you think of Maxwell Lord in season one? I mean, he's a poor man's Lex, right?
Yeah, he was kind of a poor man's Lex. I know that Peter Facinelli has a huge fan base that I'm not going to alienate right now. But, I mean, he didn't seem that necessary. But I would say that about a bunch of characters last season that kind of came and went. Even like Lucy was just like a plot device to keep, you know, her away from James.
Well, we mentioned, you know, let's go ahead and mention it now. We mentioned that earlier, how she's gone. Like, okay, this is established in dialogue. The season premiere takes place 12 hours or so after the season finale. And there is no sign of Lucy anywhere. And they have changed, not only that, they have changed locations of the DEO just for no reason. You know, I guess shooting that building is cheaper. It's a cheaper set than that, you know, that cave set. They can probably redress this new DEO for more environments, right?
Well, no, what happened was Andrew Kreisberg told us at the Q&A after the screening that they just had fallen out of love with the DEO set, the cave. So, like, they wanted to open it up and, you know, they could do more in this new place. So that's what happened. I mean, they did rebuild Catco for the most part.
Yeah,
they
I could not tell it was, you know, I thought, man, did they save the sets and just film there at Catco for they ship them up to Vancouver? But I thought they did an excellent job of recreating those.
Yeah, like, I've been to the Catco set before, and it looks like the new one is a little bit smaller. But for the most part, it's the same. I mean, it's very cool.
The thing about the DEO, though, they almost treated it like, you know, you're a bit of a Star Trek fan, right, Craig?
A little bit.
So, you know in the Next Generation movies where Worf is always showing up and it's like...
it's nice you could join us this week, Worf.
It's like this weird, like, they kind of acknowledge that he shouldn't be there, but they kind of laugh it off and they move on.
Let's invite Wesley Crusher to this wedding and then not show him.
Exactly. It's like, Mr. Worf, what the hell are you doing here? Well, sir, I was on my... Oh, well, excuse me, just a minute. And we don't get the explanation. That's the way I felt like they handled the DEO thing. But I thought it was funny because at least they were self-aware of it, because Kara was like, wait. This is the DEO? How long has this been here? Like, I thought that was real cute for them to at least acknowledge it.
I also love that when we first see that scene, not only, you know, the way everybody reacted to Superman was amazing, but I know when you had the crowd of, like, DEO extras, I recognized one of them from The 100. And sure enough, that was the guy who was the traitor in second episode.
Oh, really? Okay. I was wondering if we had seen him in the previous episode, but I guess we had. Good job. Good continuity, guys.
I was like, is he slumming it as an extra now? What's going on here?
Does Superman shake his hand?
Yes.
Wow. So yeah, so the episodes themselves, you know, all the Superman stuff aside, I really enjoyed these two episodes of Supergirl. Like, if you took this and made like it a TV movie, right? It's like the best Superman movie we've gotten since 1978, right? Is that high praise? Maybe. But what do you think, Craig?
I'm not so sure, because I like Superman 2 and 3, but also I have a special place in my heart for the Lois and Clark pilot.
Yeah, I guess the Lois and Clark pilot was a 90-minute special-length pilot, right?
Yeah, it was. And, you know, you had things like, you know, saving a space shuttle.
Well, we had a helicopter rescue. Not only a plane rescue, but a helicopter rescue as well. Because Lena Luthor gets attacked by John Corbin when she's in the helicopter with the drones. And, like, man, that's so classic. Every Superman interpretation has these rescues, and that's just what made me feel like, yeah, man, this is Superman. Like, this is, I couldn't put my finger on, like, look, I like the Man of Steel universe or DC Extended Universe, whatever we're calling it these days. I like it more than most people who are like comic book fans, but I mean, I'm still not in love with it like I wish I was. But I couldn't really put my finger on it. But seeing these episodes of Supergirl, Superman, I'm like, oh man, that's what we're missing. Man, I'm smiling the whole time.
Statistically
doing his thing.
Speaking, that's the safest way to travel.
Yes, exactly. So many nice winks and nods to the old movies without being, you know, I felt like they were not facepalm inducing like so many of Smallville's attempts are. So good. So great to see Superman and Supergirl together. I think they handled it so well. They balanced it out so well. You know, it was interesting, you know, especially in the second episode, the last show in the Krypton, we saw Kara was really like getting attached to Clark and to almost the neglect of all her other friends. And I think that was played very well by all the other characters, and just how like she was inviting Superman's or Clark, right, to sister night, and it was like, oh, I'm going to go move to Metropolis and all this crazy stuff. And I think we can all relate to that when, like, you know, people sometimes when you like you find a new friend or other people find a new friend, they like neglect everybody else around him. So that was an interesting way to approach that angle. I thought a very realistic thing for Supergirl to do in that situation, huh?
Hashtag Team Krypton. Hashtag too much fun.
That was so funny. And Hank was having none of that.
Yeah, Hank was like, no. It was interesting. It was very good. I mean, I guess it's part of what makes the characters relatable. Is, you know, you can look at the situations, and, you know, I think everybody viewed Superman the way that we would view Superman if we ever met. And, you know, the notion that, you know, he went off to do his own, you know, help Lois and protect Metropolis, I think that's cool. And Kara's got National City, and that's cool too. And Superman gets a spin-off, Metropolis will look just like National City, but whatever.
Yeah, that's and I'm glad that before everything went down in the second episode that he made the decision to leave, like, before everything went down in this episode, because I was thinking, like, I don't know, is something terrible gonna happen, he's gonna be in and it's gonna cause him to leave and all that. But no, he had said, look, I gotta get back to my life, you know, which is true, because I mean, he's got a job, he's got a life, I mean, he's got a city to protect, so he couldn't just be hanging around forever. I mean, all good things must come to an end, right?
Yeah, but let's just remember, Smallville kicked Lois Lane away after 4 episodes, and then she came back. Then she came back again and never left. So, you know, they might find they can do more Superman, or, you know.
Yeah, because originally, if I recall correctly, Craig, the original plan for Lois Lane was you could have her for 4 episodes, and that was going to be it. Like, a one-off thing, right, on Smallville?
Yep, and then they had to bring her back for Spell.
Yeah, we had to bring her back for that one.
By season 10, he's like the female lead of the show. Go figure. Powers that be, make it happen, please. One of my favorite parts of the second episode also was when they had the little recap at the start of the episode. Now when she references Superman,
oh, yes.
You see a shot of Tyler.
Yes.
I'm like, finally.
I'm so glad you brought that up, Craig, because I thought that too when I was watching it. I was like, oh, wow, it's not that weird silhouette CGI stuntman shot we've been seeing for a whole season.
Spoiler, that was Tom Welling.
Oh man, yeah. So I wonder if they're gonna keep that shot though. I mean, you can't go back to the weird CGI stunt double guy after you have that shot, right? So I guess that's probably there to stay.
Yeah, I'm sure Tyler's letting them use it.
I mean, I gotta say, you and I hadn't got a chance to talk about it between us, but their use of Superman in season 1 was so frustrating, right? I mean, we see like. The outline, we see the shadow, we see text messages. Now, and then to wrap it all up, right, to bring it home here, I did love how he flies back to Metropolis, we see him, and then he texts Kara. I feel like that was a very self-aware reference of them referencing back to when they could only do the text messaging on the show. So that was a very cool way to tie it all. Because now when I go rewatch Supergirl season 1, I'll see Tyler Hoechlin there as Superman. Like, in my head, like, he'll be the guy that takes her out of the pod and is flying towards her in this season finale and then lands at the last minute before we get to see him, which is the most frustrating thing in the
world. Don't forget his boots in the DEO.
His boots. I'm going to know what's just outside of the camera to the right.
With wind rolling around the corner, you know.
Oh man, so we can laugh about that now because we have Superman. Now if they continue that nonsense for much longer, it would not be funny, right? So no. I'm glad they finally figured out a way to do it.
A 10-season-long TV show about Superman. Never mind.
it's such a low-hanging fruit. We cannot help ourselves, okay, guys? Come on. but they did it so well. I love the Superman world they established here.
They did a really good job establishing it all.
They did, man. I mean, I love this whole Superman world they've created. I'm very interested in where they take the character of Lena Luthor. I think that's cool that she's going to be the Maxwell Lord role because, I did not like him at all.
Like I said, then we're going to have Cyborg Superman Dean Cain and I'll be right in the world.
Yes, and I cannot wait till we get Cyborg Superman Dean Cain. It's coming.
It's coming. And then the Superman spinoff on CBS All Access.
Oh, man, CBS All Access. Charge twice as much. I don't care. I will pay it. To back exactly. to back. Star Trek Discovery and Superman every week. Oh, my gosh. What a world.
So they do more than 10 episodes a season.
Yeah, I know, right? Give us at least 13. But man, I'm very excited about Supergirl. The whole move to the CW, I guess everybody was like, oh, how's this going to go? They came out guns blazing, strong. I think they'll continue the momentum. They have Linda Carter coming in, and the following episode is the president, and they're bringing in Miss Martian. And so they got a lot of stuff planned for this season, the whole cabins thing. So it's exciting stuff.
So I think we've discussed everything.
Yeah, Craig, I think we've said quite a bit about these two episodes. Hey, this is a short conversation by our standards, right?
Right, but we can blame technology for that. It kept cutting us out.
You guys don't know, man. We've had Indigo has been in our systems here trying to break us down tonight. So, but we have persevered. So, yeah, you know, the podcasts have been getting longer recently. So this is ironically is actually going to be shorter than some of the other more recent episodes I've done, Craig. So believe it or not. You know.
But I'm going to be back for Lineage, so we'll have a nice long show that
Oh,
week.
That's right. It's going to be you. Me and our friend Matt Truex from Lois and Clark, the new podcast of Superman. And that's actually going to be next week. So exciting times. So stay tuned for that. But until then, Craig, where can people find you on the internet?
Krypton site still exists. I need that as a t-shirt. KryptonSite.com, KSiteTV.com, Green Arrow TV, Flash TV News. I'm trying to think of a funny parody account. But I can't think of one right now, so...
Mercy Reef TV.
AquamanTV.com. You know, Aquaman TV still exists, too, if you look for it. There's a little Easter egg for you. But, yeah, thanks again for having me on again.
No, it's great having you on. Like I said, I'm looking forward to having you on next week with Matt Truex. Then as for me personally, you can find me on Twitter at MoronZach. That's MoronZach. And for the podcast itself, we're on Twitter at AlwaysMallville with one S. We're on Facebook at Always Hold On to Smallville. And you can send us an email at AlwaysMallville@gmail.com. Well, you know, we're going to talk about Supergirl again. You know, we had our season one recap at the end of season one with Supergirl. That'll be our next planned discussion about Supergirl will be at the end of the season. Now, if Superman comes back on the show, we'll talk about it before then for sure. And I hope he does. But we will be constantly talking about Supergirl throughout the course of the podcast here. But next week, we'll be back talking about Lineage with Craig. We'll be back again and Matt Truex. So until then, always hold on to Smallville.